All right.
All right, everybody. It's another episode of Open Conversations with your boy, Johnny Paletto, and your other boy, Forrest Stevens.
What's going on?
Yeah, that's Forrest. That's Forrest's voice. Forrest has a great voice for this. It's he's made for this. So I'm glad he's fulfilling his destiny and he's using his gift of voice. Dude,
I
what is
appreciate that.
happening, man?
Not too much, man. I've just been chilling, having a day of it. How have you
Yeah,
been?
dude, I've been totally the total opposite of that. Yeah, so we're balancing out the energy. Yeah, I could just blast because actually I feel like this has started all from last night, man.
Oh
And
yeah.
yeah, so I feel like yeah, I don't know if I should get into it now. I forget why not. All right, so last night, right? I'm on this constant dilemma, right, of girls and relationship and friggin' sexual energy and friggin', ejaculation and nofap and porn and no porn and like all this shit, right? It's been like this journey for a long time. And so as time goes on, I feel like I'm getting deeper though. I don't know. I mentioned this like a lot that I'm getting closer to something. And I was thinking about this before this, and I was thinking, I wonder if I'll just like keep getting closer to whatever it is that I'm feeling like for the rest of my life. Like I wonder if I always will kind of keep feeling like this feeling of, oh, I'm getting better. Like, oh, things are I'm happier, like I'm more of how I want to be. Like I wonder if I'll be saying that for the rest of my life because it'd be kind of, I don't know, I was picturing it, say if I'm like, oh yeah, I'm at exactly where I want to be, I'm great. I don't know. I just don't know what that would look like. But anyways, so I'm at like it's hard, right? Because we all got this sexual energy, right? And it's like natural for us to have it and natural for us to use it for things, and it's also natural to wanna like have physical touch and all that stuff with another person. You know what I'm saying? So
Oh yeah.
when you don't have that, and then I think for myself, I think for a lot of others, I think like the pornography is kind of like the other thing, kind of like the substitute, and it gets even harder when like pornography doesn't do it for you anymore. When it's just like I don't want to watch this. Like I don't even like it, and then it's like, well, what do I do? Like what do I do with this? I feel like I gotta like release. I feel like I gotta like use this energy, and we talked about using it for creative things and doing that, and then using it for workouts and all this. And I can do that. I could do that. But then after like, I don't know, a few days, a couple of weeks, whatever it is, I just feel like it starts to like build up too much. It gets to be too much. And then I'm like, yeah, I gotta like chill out. Yeah, so I'm finding my way on how to, I guess, work with it in the best way that like doesn't make me feel terrible because even though like I don't want to so I've like so when I didn't look at the pornography for a year, it was because it's not because I didn't want to. I wanted to, but I was told myself it was bad. I was like, no, it's a no-no, right? And so it was kind of like resisting for a year. And now things have shifted where I'm like, okay, it's not a no-no, but I just don't like it. And then stuff comes up with that, like, oh, how could you not like it and whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I just don't like it. It's just not for me. And so but a part of me part of me wants to like it. So I'll go to the site just to be like, oh, maybe there's going to be a video that I'll like. And I've done this like the past, I don't know, like 5 or 10 times. I'll go to the site and then I'm on it for maybe a minute. I just scroll or I'll see the first video and it's like effing this bee. And I'm just like, oh my God, this is, I can't do this, man. Like I, and, or it's like, watch this bee suck my D, you know? It's like, what? So anyways, I'm just like, so then I get off. And anyways, and then I'll kind of feel bad for even going to the site, even though I didn't watch any videos or I wasn't even on it for long. Part of me is like, oh damn it, like you knew you didn't, you weren't gonna like it, why did you try it again? And a part of me is like, well, maybe I'll find something I'll like. And so looks like you want to ask some questions, man. You got some questions, or do you got some, what do you,
Well, I'm
what's
curious what's happening there with it's like you feel like, 'cause a lot of people talk about like kind of like shame, right? In this realm. Like I think shame and sexuality and sexual expression and all these things. I think oftentimes these things get real linked up. Yeah. So that's what you're is that what you're feeling when you look at the site and then like even if it's just for a minute?
Not well, yeah, there is some of this in there. I don't really feel, I don't feel shame. It feels more like, just it's the same feeling I get if there's a movie on and it's really violent and they're like swearing and killing people. It's that same kind of feeling where I'm like, I just don't want to absorb that. I feel like I absorb things like real, like it gets r sucked in my soul, and I gotta not look at certain things, or else it's like I just feel it. And this is something I've been working on with my therapist, is this whole theme of like purity. I feel like I have this like this purity, and like say if I hear someone swearing or dirty talk or watch some violent stuff or watch some porn or something, it feels like I'm now I'm tainted. It's like I'm dirty. It's like I'm tainted. I'm not as pure anymore. So this is something all that's recently, like I was thinking about, whoa, is this because like I was raised Catholic? Like I think there was a lot that I never thought that has to deal with like sex. And I was thinking, I think there was more shame I was finding actually about being with a girl in real life and like the whole sexual act and stuff. I was like, oh, there's a lot there
Oh,
that,
really?
yeah, that I didn't think there was. But like I said, I'm getting deeper into this stuff, and I'm realizing like, oh wow, there's a lot there. And so anyways, I ended up going to sleep kind of feeling bad about myself, about just going on the site. And then I had a ton of dreams, and a lot of my dreams lately have been getting attacked by animals, getting and yesterday's dream I had two where I got attacked by dogs, and the one actually was biting me. And I was like telling the owner, like, look, your dog's biting me. And it's like, he's like, oh, it's your fault. It was like he wasn't hearing me. And then he's like, oh, it's your fault. And then I've been having a lot of these dreams too. Well, I've had two recently where I'm getting choked out, man. Someone's choking me out. And and it's kind of like kind of playing. And then I'm like tapping out. I'm like, all right, yeah, you got me, you got me. And they don't let go. And I'm like, yo, I'm freaking out in the dream. And I wake up after like feeling like I'm gonna die. And then I'll wake up with that. And so I actually recorded that, and I've been recording more of my dreams. And pretty much at least all lately has been like this theme of being attacked, unsupported, and feeling like alone in the world, and everyone's against me. And no matter what I do, I'm always in the wrong, and everyone else is right, even though they could be like doing the worst thing to me ever. I'm still wrong. So I woke up
Is
at like.
that what you think those dreams mean? Like maybe like have you thought specifically maybe about one or the other more? Like is one of those dreams stand out to you more than the other?
I don't think so.
No.
They all bring the same feeling.
I'm just curious. It's interesting the to me what stood out was the person saying this was all your fault. What do you think that symbolizes?
Well, I'm not sure because I've recently done a lot of work and discovery on realizing that it's not my fault. Things aren't my fault. I didn't deserve like bullying. Like no one does. Like I didn't. It wasn't my fault for any of this stuff. And I'm like, it's kind of I'm having like these epiphanies because I thought everything was my fault for forever.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, it wasn't like my fault. Oh, I'm not terrible. So I don't know why it's kind of frustrating having these dreams because I'm like, why are these coming up? I thought like
Well, I mean, like your dreams are part of your subconscious at play, right? I mean, when you're in your dream state, it's like partially your subconscious. So, I mean, there's probably a part of you that still feels that way, even though that you're having those realizations and those epiphanies, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. It just kind of sucks 'cause it's like frustrating to because in a dream it's like real. It feels real, right? It's like real
Right.
life. And it's like what the heck? Why it feels like I'm going backwards or something, or it almost feels like you know what it feels like, man? It almost feels like this kind of this force that is like you can't get away from me. You're never going to be free or something like that. I always got your ass, you
I
know, like.
wonder, I wonder, there's that thing where it's like with psychedelics or with therapy even, it's like instead of running away from the darkness or running away from your fear, like facing it and shining a light on it. I wonder what would happen in those dreams if you were able to be like, oh, it's okay that this dog is biting me. Like, I'm just gonna accept it or something like that. Like, I wonder what would even
Yeah,
happen.
me too. It just I it's it feels impossible to do though, as it just
Yeah.
feels like my natural w reaction without thinking is to like is to freak out, and to fight back and to like
I
kind of
would say
yeah.
understandably so. I mean, it feels real, right? And there's you
Yeah.
feel like you're under attack. I mean, like the understandable thing to do is to run away or to freak out or to fight, right?
Yeah, I think I'd have to be aware. I was
Yeah.
dreaming, so I'd have to be lucid, somewhat to be like, because I can do that, and I have done that when I've been faced with like some tremendous, scary shit. I've looked at it right in the eye and whatever, and it always transforms into something beautiful. Sometimes even myself, sometimes even a baby me,
You
and
mean like in a dream
in a
you've done this?
dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've been lucid. That's why I was able to do it because I'm like, oh, I know I'm dreaming. But when I'm not and I'm think it's real, it's really hard to do. But we'll see. So anyways, I woke up at 6 and then I was like, yeah, it's too early because I'm supposed to get up at 8. So made my notes in my phone, went back to sleep. And then I never get woken up by my alarm. I'm always up before. But today I got woken up by the alarm and it and I was like messed up. My head was all messed up and I couldn't shake it. It was like I was still tired. And then so I don't know. I feel like I wasn't fully on today. I wasn't killing it. And then I was like, shit, I was thinking about all last night. And I'm like, oh, it's because of that. Is it because like because I ended up masturbating and I was like, oh, is it because I used up some of my sexual energy? Oh, I don't have as much energy. Oh no, did I yeah, did I like ruin myself for today? And then the first thing my manager says, or second thing, he's like, oh, you're bottom of the list for efficiency. And I was like, shit, for yesterday. And I was like, shit, I thought I did really good yesterday. And so that was rattling, that was on my mind. And then we ended up talking about it more and stuff, and of course, like I took it was kind of the way you said it, but I took it personally, and like and I was the only one, but he was just kind of referring to something else, and we worked it out, and I felt better, but and then and yeah, and so and then it was all right, and then someone messaged through our Leo machines, oh, can you do this pickup later on the day? And would you be able to do this pickup? And I'm like, oh yeah, I could do a pickup. Like thinking, you know, it's just pick up one package, I'm out. No problem. And they're like, all right, thanks. I get there, and then the guy has like all these packages, and I'm like, what the hell? And it's a bulk pickup. And so this means like you spend time there, and I don't got time to spend. But I'm like stuck with the pickup now. So I do it, I'm there for half an hour, pick up 563 pieces. And I had no idea, like thinking it was just one, right? No one told me, like, so I was kind of pissed off at the guy in dispatch because, like, I feel like they should have said, hey, this isn't just a normal pickup, this is a bulk pickup, like, give me a heads up. So, and then obviously that threw off my whole day. And then I got to another place late and they were busy, couldn't help him out. Then I got to the other place, they were so busy. I had to go back to the station because my truck was full, I had no more room, get another truck, come back. And everything was just all late and messed up. And so, yeah. So then I just got home, just had dinner and shower. And now I'm here. So that's what I meant when I said I feel like just got like blasted out of a cannon because it was just like,
Wow.
yeah.
Busy day, man. Busy day. And turbulent
Ooh.
morning, it sounds like. I mean, to me, it's like looking at what you've told me. It's just like, I think having a dream like that, you know, it feels real, but there's also a consequence to your sleep cycle. And it's probably, if they did scans on your brain, you'd probably see a lot of brain activity happening and a lot of energy spent there as well. And then also going back to sleep, and you could potentially have interrupted one, because you have these 90-minute cycles while you're sleeping. You could have interrupted that as well. I mean, I think sleep is so important to have like a good day, and I think that's the only reason I've been able to handle the past couple of days, is because I feel like I've, for the past 2 days, is like those are like the best sleeps I've had in like months. And it's just been like, wow, this is like what a good sleep is like. And it makes me be able to be so much more capable. And I really think that sleep is important. And it could have just been like literally just the way you woke up sort of started the dominoes to fall, right? And then started all these other things that you might have been able to handle had you gotten a proper sleep, possibly. That's my theory, at least.
Yeah, sleep is important, man. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I think maybe I was in the middle of something and got woken up, because other times I've gotten woken up by the alarm and I've been all right. But tell me this. Have you ever had a dream that was so damn real that you jumped out of your bed? When you woke up, you actually flew out of your bed. Have you ever done
No.
that?
No, I've had like falling dreams or jumping dreams where I've like kind of like shaked and jumped in bed, but I've never
Yeah.
gotten out of bed.
Dude, this has happened to me twice. And
Really?
like, sometimes I'll think of something and then it happens. So this happened the first time, it happened years ago, like years and years and years ago. And what it was this was even before DMT. And this was when I had this I used to think this there was like this dark evilness trying to kill me that I would meet in my dreams.
Huh.
And it was like really intense. And yeah, it was trying to kill me. So one time like I woke up and I flew out of bed like swinging. Like I got out of the bed and like kind of like faced my bed and just started like swinging. And I was like, you can't get me, like, or like get away from me. And then I did DMT, and then the shaman was like, oh, just say I love you to it, whatever. And then I did, and then all that kind of changed. But when was it? It might have even been it was last night or the night before. I think I was driving and I got in a car accident, and same thing, and I freaking flew out of bed, dude, and was on my feet. Same thing, like kind of like ready. And it's intense. Like I almost want to set up a camera and see what it looks like, because it's like up, out, like instant in one movement, just like gone, just boom.
Whoa. That's crazy, man. That's
What do you
so
think,
wild.
man? Like, I wonder, I'm like, do people have dreams like this? Is this normal? Like, what are other people's dreams like? What's their sleep like? And sometimes, like, I'll have some wild stuff happen that night, man.
That is wild. I don't know. Like, I only have my own experience, right? I don't actually know what other people have. I know a few people who talk so much about their dreams, who have like very vivid dreams, very complex dreams. They remember it all. I don't even remember my dreams. I can't remember the last time I've remembered my dreams, and it's because I smoke weed, I
Yeah, I was
think.
gonna say, I was like, do you think it's 'cause I've heard a lot about that, about with the weed and dreams.
Oh yeah, it's 100% true. When I do stop smoking weed, I start remembering my dreams right away. Like the as soon as I stop, they start coming back. But then they also sort of like ramp up, and then they slow down and have like it's more frequent, but it's not like I find when I first quit, it's like dreams, 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 dreams like crazy. But I think personally, like my belief about dreams is that a lot of it is our subconscious, and it's a lot of stuff that's it's like not it, it's like trying to work through it in your dreams as opposed to potentially in your waking life. And it's doing that in that world, which is more malleable, more it just has its own rules, right? The dream world has its own rules of sorts. And for some reason, I think we work through a lot of our anxieties at night in our sleep, and those get played out as dreams, I think. That's my thought about dreams.
Yeah, man. Dreams.
Dreams. I did have another question for you, man, about one thing you said a while back, if we want to loop back to that.
Yeah, shoot.
I was gonna ask you, talked about sort of like absorbing bad visual stuff or intaking things that aren't really what you want to intake. What do you think would happen? Like, what do you think happens when you take in that bad stuff? Like, what's the consequence of that? Like, is there a consequence to it?
Well, I don't think so, but I like in the end, I don't think so. Or in reality, I don't think so, but in my what I'm trying to work through still, it's something I know I have to work through. It just feels like it's bad, it's wrong. It feels like if I get an image of it, even if I get like an image of a swear word, it's like, and it brings upon this feeling of like I'm ruined, like I'm just tainted, and it lasts. It could last for like in the past, like with the words that they would say to bully me and stuff. If someone said like it could last like weeks, or like it could last a long time with this feeling until I like recover from the damage. It's like a blow. Feels like a blow. So it's still kind of a similar thing, and it's doesn't last as long, but it's still the same feeling of like, oh, I just took a hit. I just took this hit. I feel like lower now.
Do you think, because what I've been thinking about with this is, do you think that the belief is actually what's causing you to sort of have these bad dreams, like this belief that you've been working on, and it's not actually like the thing itself that you're intaking. It's actually the way you process it more than the actual thing itself. Like, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
I think so, but can you say it again?
Well, there's the actual like for instance, let's give this an example. Like, say an image. Say you see an image, and this represents violence or pornography or whatever it is. And Do you think that it's actually your belief system, or that you're working on, that you've said that you're working on, but it's this belief that like something is tainted, or that it's not good for you, or that it's lowering you? Do you think that's actually what is a bigger issue than the image itself, or that you're seeing the image? It's like how you process it is causing you more turmoil.
Yeah, I think it's the processing. Yeah, I think it's the processing because I think it's natural to, like, if you see, like, say I watched this movie and then this guy's like head got cut off, and I was like, oh, turn it off. Like, I was like, oh, I don't need to watch this. I think it feels n natural to be like, oh shit, like that's. To like, I don't know. What do you think? Don't you like? I think there's some natural. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why they use that imagery, is it's supposed to be sort of shocking, right? It's supposed to be shocking, and it
Yeah.
plays on our base instincts. Oh, this is something that's crazy that just happened, that's bad. It's not a good thing, right? So
Yeah.
there is that natural instinct. And like to me, I see that and I disassociate that it's like oh, this isn't real, you know? This is just an image, it's just a video, and it doesn't I don't I like it might affect me on some level, but I don't like give it a second thought, and I don't let my thoughts that it causes affect me further, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but like, how do you, is that something you had to work on, or you just were always like that? Because like, I'm not like that. I never have been.
Well, I think part of it is just my upbringing. Like I am not as sensitive to a lot of stuff that other people might be. Like there's just that natural like ability to I don't know, maybe it's not ability is not the right word, but yeah, it's like a disposition or a base level of connecting with it, you know? It's like it's like you could even say like, oh, I'm like more numb to these ideas or to these things, like because I don't know, I feel like I've like seen harsh stuff in my life, and then anything less than that is like fine, you know? Like, and I don't the other thing is too, is it's like if we get back to like the feeling of you having like a sense of like purity and these things are making you impure, like I don't have that belief. Like that wasn't instilled in me at all. So I just take it as like face value, and that in itself makes it much easier to just deflect or to not absorb, like that right
Yeah,
there, you know?
I wanna get to that. I've been trying to think where that comes from. And yeah, I don't know. I think it's some belief I made up when I was young. And yeah, I think going to church was something kind of mixed in there. And yeah, but I wanna. Like it's coming together with time, but yeah, the thing is too, I feel like if I say if I were to watch violent, like gory stuff, like every day, I feel like I would like desensitize to it, right? And be like okay with it and stuff. But I notice even if I were to watch something like, and then when I take a break though, it completely resets. And then if I were to see something, it's like seeing it for the first time ever. It's like shocking as heck. Like that's what happens with the pornography. Like I watch it pretty like growing up, like for years and years, for like half my life every day, and then take a year off and go back to it, or 6 months or whatever. And it's like so shocking, man. My heart is freaking pounding. And it's not always that. It's even like something with like An Instagram girl or something. Some girl on Instagram is hot, and haven't like seen her pictures in like months or a couple years or something. It's like I notice the same thing. Heart starts pounding, get tight, just like what the hell? And then I don't know. A part of me feels good to be like, I'm okay. It's okay. It's okay. There's just like pictures and stuff and videos and whatever. It's okay. I'm okay. Everything's okay. And then I have this other part that's like, yeah, you're ruined. Your mind is contaminated. You've been corrupted. Kind of things, feelings.
I mean, well, there's a couple things in there, and I think the sensitivity almost sounds like a lesser issue, you know? It's like it's not really a good or a bad thing to be sensitive or desensitive or unsensitive to these things, right? Like it's like it, you know, it sounds like you're like you said, you're able to become desensitized to these things. But that still doesn't really like help with that underlying belief that almost sounds like it's causing you more agony than just being sensitive to it, because you are able to say like, or you are able to desensitize yourself to it, or come to some sort of understanding of it, right? Like it's, yeah, it's the purity thing, man. It's so fascinating to me. I don't know. I've never really thought like that before, having
It's
some
good.
sort of like pure, I mean, I guess the closest thing I can amount to that is like having like a sense of like, oh, of like perfectionism, like of needing something to be sort of like set or perfect. But I think even that is different. That feels different to me too than what you're talking about.
Yeah, the purity thing's interesting, man. I'm bringing it up to my therapist. I think even her, she's like, interesting. Like, we're working on it. But yeah, man. I don't know. It's part of my journey. And but I'm realizing that it's not something I want to have. Like, but I think it must have served a purpose at some point for some time. So,
I wonder, have you ever read anything about like, 'cause Catholic guilt is almost like a, it's like a cliche term almost at this point, because it's so used and understood. Like, dude, I bet there's some good books about like dealing with Catholic guilt. Have you ever checked any of that stuff out?
no,
And it might not be like 100% accurate for you or anything, but it would be an interesting insight regardless.
Yeah, I just it's just kind of been recently, dude, that I've been even thinking about the religion and like thoughts will but I think back to school and teachers and stuff and I think to what they said and I was just like, but at the same time the other kids got it too and it's like, but I have this thing where like I listen too well. The other kids are like, they're like, yeah, don't have sex. It's you're gonna die. And then I was just like, oh shit, really? And then the other kids are like, yeah. And then there's like hounds. Like, you know, it's just like in one ear out the other. But it seems like for me, I don't know. I just became this person of like, oh shit, like you're like, yeah, like just believing all these things, like don't do this, it's bad, whatever. And I don't know, just a part of me is just like, oh shit, okay. Like,
Is that because of like the source that that information comes from, and you just like believe authority or
yeah,
teachers?
I think yeah, that had a lot to do with it. But yeah, man, it's like religion's wild because it's like tied in with God and life and then creator and all this stuff of like heaven and after you die and like it's a lot, man. It's a lot. And to like be kind of brought up in that. See, the one thing though I noticed was like, so I had like friends I went to obviously elementary school with and high school with, but I was the only We were one of the only families that actually went to church on Sunday. Like I didn't see any other kids from school. Might have saw one guy's parents and then this other family and then maybe three other families only on Christmas. And so like it was my parents, my sister and me, like a family, and we'd be the only like family, at least from my elementary school, that was there every
Every
Sunday.
week you would guys would go?
We went every Sunday, dog.
Whoa.
Every Sunday.
Dude.
Dude.
I have a question for you. I don't want to depart from this too much,
Yeah,
and I think
no.
it's in the
Shoot,
realm.
shoot, shoot, shoot.
Do you remember when you learned about death for the first time? Like that people die?
The what comes up what comes up for me is the movie Titanic.
Huh.
And this is so vivid, dude, because Titanic came out in like 96, right? Something like that. So I would have been a six. I would have been six. I saw it in theaters. No one, I didn't know movies weren't real. I thought they were real. So like, and I might have been confused that it was like, oh, this is based on a real story, but I thought it was real. So like, I'm seeing all this shit happen. And I'm thinking like it's happening like in real time, like this is real. And then at the end, when Jack dies, like he drowns, he goes in the water. I was crushed. I was freaking
Wow.
heartbroken. I was crushed and I was freaking out. And I was like, Mom, he died, he died, he died. And like, I don't know, my mom was just like the person in real life, like the died, but like not him. Like I thought Leonardo DiCaprio died.
Yeah.
I thought he was dead.
So she explained, did she explain that to you or no?
No, not really, or not in a way that a 6-year-old me could really understand.
Yeah.
But it was like I think we were watching some award show or something, and like there he was, and I was like, "How is he here?" And they're like, "What are you talking
Whoa.
about?" And I'm like, "He died."
What?
Yeah, and so then I think then it then that's when it clicked in of like, oh, he's not dead.
Huh.
But that was my first flash of like when you asked that question.
Wow. That's a very interesting story, but I thought it was going to lead, I thought the question was going to stay in the realm of religion because religion talks about death more than. Like if you don't have religion in your life, unless you're going to like a funeral or somebody you know passes away when you're a kid, which isn't always that likely, you don't really see death, but I guess right there you see it in media and stuff like that. But yeah, that's interesting because yeah, I guess what my question was, another question I have about death, I guess, is like, did you gain some sort of understanding or have some sort of concept about death and where people went because of your religion, because you went to church every week? Like, was that part of the stuff you learned about in that?
Well, the basic kind of gist of it, my understanding was like basically follow the rules, like the Ten Commandments or basically whatever the priest says. And you should be all right. Like you'll go to a place like heaven where it's a nice place, it's a nice time. But if you don't, then like dude, you're gonna go to hell. It's gonna be the worst. It's gonna be a terrible time. Like, so obviously, right? Like, you don't want to go to the bad place. So I think, I don't know, that was my understanding. I was young. Then, then when I turned 14, I started having severe mental health problems. Then I was just like became super atheist. I was just like, this shit is bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Because I thought I was. This is the conversation I had with God and Jesus. I was like 14, 15, say 15, right? And I'm like crying a lot before I go to sleep. Like, this is torture. What's going on in my mind is torture. And I'd say, like, what have I done? Why? What did I do? I thought I was good. Like, I went to church and stuff and did these things. Like, I don't know. I thought I was all right, guy. Why? why, like, I'd say, like, why have you done this? Or like, why has this happened to me? Why? And I would get no answers back. And I'd be like praying, I'd be like really reaching out to this God or somebody, you know, and I'd get nothing back. And that's when I was just like, yeah, you're bullshit. Like, and then I'd start being like, that's bullshit. And it was kind of like that a long time until basically I got into mushrooms, and then I kind of got a different perspective on life and death and God and energy and stuff like that. And yeah.
What do you believe now? What do you think happens when you die?
I kind of think I guess my current belief is something along the lines of like we're all energy, I think. And I think that like that goes I think that goes somewhere. I think consciousness, I don't think it just I don't think it just disappears. Like I think the body definitely will decompose and you know and go back into the earth and stuff if you let it, if you want it that like because you know how all the funeral process is. But I don't I don't know. I just don't think I like consciousness is of what is like operating me. I don't think that just disappears. I don't know exactly like what happens to it. A lot of people say they like know exactly what it is, and they say oh like they have it all like this is how the process works. I don't buy into like any of that because I don't think anyone knows, even if they're like oh yeah I was channeled from a spirit that passed on. I'm still like don't buy it personally. But I don't know, it just it also feels like it also feels like we have just been around and I've been around for a long time. Like it's not just this life. Like something has an age to it. Like it feels old. Like it doesn't feel like this is a its first time around the block. Like I don't feel it's like my first time around the block. So, I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's interesting that our consciousness takes form as a human. I think that's a weird thing. I think what our life as a human being is very weird and very interesting. And I think when we die, and like you said, you know, I also believe the same thing that nobody really knows. But I think there's a part of us that is a spiritual being, and I think that that being continues on in some fashion that we cannot comprehend as physical beings. And we might get glimpses of it, or we might think we get glimpses of it. And it's really unknown. But I think it's some sort of form. It feels to me like it makes sense. As some sort of form of rebirth into something bigger and more beautiful, even than life, because that's what we see around us with death in every other form. In a physical form, we see death, it creates new life as we decompose. Like literally, it feeds new life, and then that develops into more and more complex life. Oh, that's like, you know, evolution, right? With death comes rebirth. So that's kind of what I think. And like, I don't know if my consciousness continues on, or if there's an energy that continues on, or what. Like, I don't think it'll necessarily be, I don't think it's me as myself right now that will carry on. I think it's something about something else. I don't really know, you know, like it's,
yeah.
But I'm also like, that's another thing in that is like, I don't know, but it's, I also feel totally fine with it. Like there's part of me that feels like it's going to be great to die. Like there's part of me that thinks it'll be like a crazy, euphoric, beautiful experience where I come into the light and I'm just, you know, energy or something. And it just feels pure and
yeah,
comfortable, you know. I don't know,
like, I like
there's
that.
Part of me that feels like that.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I like also, yeah, not knowing, because I guess a part of me feels like, oh, you, oh, if you say, oh, I don't know, that people would be like, what do you mean you don't know? Like, how could you live like that or something? Like it's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like that. I liked when you were talking about the spiritual, like. Sometimes people talk about realms and different dimensions all the time in the spiritual world, at least. And sometimes maybe, yeah, I guess a part of me thinks like, yeah, that exists. This other dimension or realm or something exists on another plane. Like as this is all happening and, but it's like not physical. It's not like a place like you could fly up to or like you could drive to or something. And so I don't know, it's, yeah, it just seems like a whole world. Like it kind of ties back into like with dreams and with psychedelics, it almost seems like you could go into these places more, or like you're in this space I'm trying to talk about. It's like, oh, I'm in it, I'm here. I had this one cool experience I actually never told you about, but just one time, was it the first time? First time doing psilocybin, so mixing psilocybin with Syrian rue. Dude, I had a time. I had a lot. Like it was like, so I don't know you know about this, but like when you mix mushrooms with Syrian rue is supposed to like amplify the effects, they say, from like 2 to 5 times. The amount you take, they're like, so if you take like 2 mushrooms or like it times that by like 2, times that by 5, and like that's the trip you're gonna get if you take 2 grams of mushrooms with like 1 gram of Syrian rue. They're like, that's what like 10 grams of mushrooms would be like, some people say. Anyways,
wild.
Yeah, I had I think I had 3.5 grams of mushrooms, which on its own for a lot of people is a lot, right? And then I had a massive ass cup of Syrian rue, like in a tea. Dude, and I was somewhere else, my brother. I was like completely still. It was like a deep sleep. Like I didn't move for hours. And I remember being like in other places, and yeah, it was really interesting. At one point though, at the end where I could actually start to move again, because it was almost like I was so heavy I couldn't move. I was in another place, but I remember, dude, looking at my hand, and I remember I could see through my hand. Like it was translucent, my hand. I've never had an experience like that like before, where I was really like looking up and I was like going like this and it was all trailing, but I remember being like, and the outline of my hand was white.
Yeah.
And I remember at that moment being like, holy shit, I am energy, holy shit. Like that's when I was like, oh shit, this is wild. Like, dude, what an experience.
That's crazy.
Like I remember, like you could just see right, like a ghost. Like yeah, almost like how a ghost would be. Like that's exactly what my hand was like. I had ghost hand.
So this was coming down from the trip?
Coming down.
And so when you were in, like when you were peaking, you said you were like in like a different world?
Yeah, like bits and times I would kind of come back and be like, oh, I'm in this room, and then go back. But yeah, I was just in another place, man. I remember at one point, I was in some place and it was like we were all kids and it was almost like breaking free. It was almost like So you know the Matrix,
Yeah.
when he takes the thing and he wakes up and he's in that cocoon of
Yeah.
goo that he comes through. It was almost like we were all in that and we were breaking out of it. And there was this person, and she was like, "Come on, come on, you're almost there, you're almost there, you're almost there, go, 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 like you're almost there, you're almost there." Until you like
Huh.
bust out of it and you're just like, "Oh shit, now I could breathe."
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, and then you came down and you were in this, you had this translucent hand.
Yeah, it was dope.
That sounds really dope. It sounds really cool. And I guess, I mean, that's part of what we are. I mean, we are energy. We're tightly packed atoms as everything else is in this world. In a sense, we are made out of nothing more than energy condensed. What do you think of, what were your takeaways from that trip, man? That sounds so wild. There must have been some things that you learned from that.
I remember right after, you know, a lot of these, because I was with a bunch, like five other people, six other people, right? And they always say, well, like they asked that question. I remember not talking. I remember still laying down and I didn't want to talk. And I think I was saying using words to describe this experience would do it in an injustice. And I think that's what I told people, but it felt like, I don't know, man, it felt like I was in some deep ass cocoon, and I was doing some like some deep healing work of some sort from like, I don't know, like timelines ago. And
Did you notice any change in your day-to-day life after that? Like any perspective changes because of that experience?
I don't think so. It was a heck of a few months, dude, because it's like quit job, go to Croatia for a month. I came back from Croatia and had that psilocybin experience. Then like a month later, I had ayahuasca. Then like a month later, I did Vipassana. And then a month later, I moved to BC. So it was like I was just in this place, man, where I was just having these experiences. And before Croatia, I was like doing the float tanks, the ice baths, the sweat lodge. So it was just like a bunch of months of just, I think, just transforming and
And experiencing things, sounds like.
So I don't know. I remember after that experience, like I was just like, it wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't shocking really or new. Like it felt like a familiar place. Like anytime I feel like most of the time I experience mushrooms or any of the plants, like, well, not cannabis, but like, okay, mushrooms and ayahuasca, anything that
Yeah.
ends in osca, I always felt at home. Like it always felt like just like, oh, I know this place. So, and at that time I was tapping into that kind of feeling a lot. So I was just kind of like, oh, I know this place. This is familiar. Yeah. It's what I needed, but I didn't feel like, yeah, anything really shifted after that. I just, yeah. Yeah.
Was it an experience that you seeked out again afterwards at all, to any degree?
To have like an experience like that.
Yeah.
Not really, actually, to be honest. Same as DMT. It was so intense. It was so I guess the experience itself was so astonishing that I was good. I was like, you know what? I'm good. I am good. I think that's gonna last for a lifetime. Like that's good for a lifetime. How it was so, I guess, incredible or so like out of this world that I was like, all right, cool. Yeah, that's I'm good. Like I don't need to repeat that experience. Yeah.
It's interesting because yeah, I feel like there's two ways you could go with that. Like there's really the way like that you did, where it's like you're just like, wow, that was the experience. Like, but then there's also the folks who will just like jump in and be like, this can be part of my reality now. And then they live part in this world and part in that entirely different world. It's pretty crazy.
And I felt like a lot of the crew I was running with were kind of like that. Like there was a bunch of, yeah, a lot of like it was almost like they just kept wanting to see more or seeking more. I don't know, man. I just felt like I wasn't like that. I was like, I'm good. I don't want to I feel like I've been given a massive gift. It was like an honor. It was an honor. It was a privilege to have those experiences. And maybe this is my stuff, but I was just like, I'm good, man. I'm good. Like I but yeah, I think I'm truly good. Like even I was gonna ask you where you're at with microdosing mushrooms, because I haven't, man. Like I tried, it was like the cannabis, like I tried to get into it, and even with the mushrooms, I'm like, oh, this isn't, I don't think this is it either. And so yeah, I've just been sticking with therapy, you know, basically kind of doing my own parts work, doing my yoga, and I'm like, this feels good. I'm gonna go down, keep going down this road. So what about you? Are you still microdosing or what's going on?
Well, you know, man, I forgot to continue microdosing when I was sick, and then I got out of the cycle of it and out of the routine and out of the pattern of it. So I microdosed once since then, so in the past week, and then I was like, I've been wanting to do like a large dose of mushrooms for a while, and I also wanted to not be microdosing when I did that so that I would have a lower tolerance. And then so I was like, okay, this could be my opportunity for that. So I'm planning on doing like a larger dose, maybe like a 3.5 gram type dose, probably next week would be the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, next week.
Cool,
And
man.
carve out an entire day for it and have some preparation in place, and make it very intentional. I'm also doing like I'm working on this book. Like writing this book, and it's all
Oh, yeah.
about So I'm
Dope,
writing this
man.
book, and it's all sort of about it's pretty much like that Revelation podcast I had, but in book form, and the book will be like short. I don't really know what to call them, but I guess just thoughts more than like it's going to be the format of it will be like a poetry book, but it won't be poetry. It'll be like thoughts that I've had. So I plan on doing a lot of the work on this larger trip of mushrooms because that's part of the theme of the book.
A lot of the work.
A lot of the writing and a lot of the just experience, right? Because a lot of that will be documented, the experience of the trip itself,
So
if that makes sense.
you're gonna be writing while you're having the experience?
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's the
Damn.
plan.
I never was able to do that.
No.
No, I'd just always be out. Can't even sit up.
Well, that might happen too, for sure. But there'll be times where I'll be, you kind of come in and out, like especially with mushrooms, I find it's like very wavy, very flowy. For me, it's like totally depends on, I mean, maybe with the larger doses, less so, but with like a moderate dose, it's definitely like the setting has a huge effect. Like I'll be like for one time, I was in this old growth forest with my friend, and we were taking mushrooms, and we actually found this giant cedar tree that was hollow, and we and it was this, there was this crazy rainstorm, so we went inside the tree
Wow.
and we were inside the tree and we were just like tripping, and I was like, dude, I am a mushroom. I had my back against the wall of this tree. I was like, I feel like I'm a mushroom. And then I popped out of the hole and came outside, and it was just like, I should say, inside the tree, you're surrounded by wood, which is like a natural noise absorber. So it was just silent, like absolutely silent. It was like I was in a sound booth. And then I came out, and it was just like an overwhelming amount of senses of like the rain and the wind and in the forest. And I was like, oh, this is what it feels like to be like a fruiting body of a mushroom. Like I'm popping out into this world that's just like exists above me. And that really impacted like my mushroom trip, like depending on what I was doing. And then, we went for a walk, and then all of a sudden we were on like a gravel logging road, and it was like, oh, I'm like barely even high anymore. Like it just like took me like completely down. So I mean it'll be a little harder with a larger dose to have that effect of like coming in and out. But when I do come down at all, I'll have a notepad, I'll have my camera so I can record, even if I just need to be like speak something verbally and then write it down later for my book. I'll definitely be documenting like as much as possible, which is a weird thing because a lot of times it like people, I don't know, people have this thing where it's like, oh, that takes away from the experience. Like even like with travel, people are like, oh, don't take a selfie at this thing, just like experience it, see it. And that doesn't really resonate with me anymore. Like I've done trips, and I find that when I document them, whether writing or recording or anything, like traveling trips and psychedelic trips, I find that I gain a lot more out of them when I have some sort of documentation, because it's just so hard to bring anything back with you from experience. It's like it's so hard to glean anything from it, I find.
Yeah, I think you're right. So tell me, man, are you wanting to do a larger dose just like for the book, or is there something like you want to find out about yourself, or do you just feel like something's calling you to do a mushroom?
I feel like it's been calling me forever, man. It's been calling
Yeah.
me like,
Wow.
yeah, like I really had an inkling to do it in the winter, last winter, and it
Yeah.
was like really calling for me, and I kept
Wow.
ignoring it. I kept putting it aside, and for whatever reason, and I think a lot of it was fear, actually. And now it's just like I just feel like I really need to do it. I think that it will
Okay.
I think something will come of it. I don't have like something that I need. Like even with the book, it's like I don't need to do this to write the book. Like my
Yeah.
book is like pretty much like it's not like done, but like I have 80% of the material of it already.
Nice.
Like it doesn't need I don't need that to finish it or anything. I think it will add to that, but it's more so just like been calling me for so long, and I've been putting it off, and I feel like I need to not put it off any longer.
Yeah. That's really cool. I'm excited and interested to see and hear how it goes. Because you said like you're not really a mushroom guy, or you haven't really had experiences, I guess, like others have talked about or something.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, yeah, mushrooms I find very challenging is what it is. Like it makes me very emotional. It makes me like it forces me to work through a lot of stuff before I can actually enjoy it or have any sort of like fun from it. But it's every time it's been like a very powerful and rewarding. And there's always been like big lessons in there, but I also find it hard to to actually like integrate them into my life, you know? That's one challenge that I find with any psychedelic is like how long is the afterglow? You know, is it actually changing my life or is it just a life-changing experience in itself, you know?
Yeah,
And
I
so
like
that's
that.
what I find with mushrooms as well, is that it can feel like it was something and then it hasn't really changed anything else, you know? And that's also to be expected. Like, I don't know, like things take time in this physical world. Like, this physical world is really slow compared to the psychedelic world or the dream world. Like, you know, I talked earlier about the sort of the rules the dream world has, and it's like you can walk out of one door in a house and be in a completely different part of the world in a dream, and you won't even think twice about it. It'll just feel like, oh yeah, I'm here now. This feels real too.
Yeah.
So things move really quickly. But in the physical world, it takes a lot more time and work and effort to have things come about. But they still happen, but it
Yeah.
takes time.
It does. And just lastly, I just want to say something on time, and I feel like we're getting faster. We're People already say this is a fast, I guess if you live in a big city in North America somewhere, they say it's so fast paced and stuff. But it almost feels like if I compare myself to like people, I don't know, like are like 30 years older than me and above, it almost feels like when I talk to them, it almost feels like they're And I not for all of them, but it almost feels like they're operating on a more slower, like simpler world where it feels like us and people younger, it's like things are more like instant, like fast. And I feel like we're getting, as time goes on, we're getting faster and faster, and technology's there. And then I'm thinking like it makes sense, I feel like, why we want to always have faster internet, because it's like when we have a thought, it's fast, and then I'm on my phone and I need something or whatever, and it's a delay, it's slow. It's like, do you know what I'm trying to say? It's like now we need, that's why we have like, they're like 5G, now it's faster speed. Like, and it's like we're moving towards this world where I feel like it's going to be instant. Like, you have a thought, and then it's like, boom, it's like whatever's there is like instant on your phone or in reality.
It's like Neo in the Matrix when he downloads, oh, I know Kung Fu now.
Yeah, like that kind of thing, or it's like say skip the dishes, right? And it's like okay, I'm the thought is like, okay, I'm hungry, right? Okay, hamburger, okay, go to this place, and it's gonna be there 40 minutes, whatever. And I just feel like, I don't know, I just feel like we're working to this world of things being faster and faster, to maybe to one point maybe it does become instant, whether you, I don't know, where there's like you see it in movies, like there's teleporters and there's like something where you just press a button and food just appears, you know, like I don't know, man. Maybe that will be a thing. I don't think in our lifetime, but who knows, man, maybe down the road. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't seem like this thing, like that's like, oh, that would never happen. I could see it because it feels like we're working towards that happening. Do you know what I
Man,
mean?
if we can imagine it, we can create it. I mean, that's what we've done in the past, and that's what we see now is like the just unbelievable creations that humans are capable of. I mean, this all started like it's crazy to think like that me and you, for instance, are entirely different locations talking to each other, transmitting this light. We're able to see all this. Like, how did people create this out of rocks and minerals and like it's insane. Like, it's insane thinking of the raw materials that we have on this world, and somehow we have created these refined
Yeah.
technologies. It's insane.
So
That in
you
itself is insane.
yeah, I know it's amazing, but like you know what I mean, right? Like, do you like I always say, like I'll say to my dad, I'm like, we'll talk about green energy or something, or we'll talk about the future. I'm like, I feel like a lot of the how we're gonna live in the future, like the technology, it hasn't been created yet. We haven't like thought of it yet. And I've been trying to tell my dad, like, we haven't thought of it yet. And I'll try to tell him my visions for the future. And he's so like, just like, he can't even think about it. It's just like, it's not possible in his world, in his mind. But in my mind, it's like, I'm like, oh man, anything is possible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a really interesting thing you said there, where it's like, we haven't even thought of it yet. We haven't even thought of the future that we're going to live in. Like, everyone thinks it's VR and electric cars and whatever else. It's like, I don't know, man, it's going to be beyond that. Like, it's going to be, somebody's going to take that idea and build onto that in some way. And you can see the trajectory of technology by looking into the past and inventors and scientists and people working on the previous information they have. But that's just compounding so quickly because, like you said, the world we live in now is so much faster and there are a lot more people. So everything is compounding, and compounding is huge. It's the big one. So it's happening. Yeah. And we're part of it. We're feeding in to the information of the internet with what we're talking about right now. This is going to be uploaded somewhere and somebody else is going to take this and, you know, and everything else on the internet, and it all just keeps building. And that's that what we're doing right now is we're putting in information for the future.
Yeah.
It's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool, man. Maybe one day our great grandkids or something will look back on these videos and be like, wow, those guys were some pretty gnarly guys.
It's possible, man. You never know. Those guys
were visionaries, man. Yeah.
It's possible. It is funny to think of.
Yeah. All right, man. What do you think? Do you want to recall it? Anything else you want to talk about?
I think that's it, man.
Okay, man.
Send me this video though. I got some clip ideas I've written down from what we've been talking about. So I'll make some clips and we'll throw them up on the Open Conversations TikTok and Instagram as well.
Okay, awesome. Is that what you're doing there? You're writing down some notes there? Okay, I thought so. I'm like, is this guy writing? What's he going on over there?
Yeah, just jotting things down as they come up, because I get so forgetful with a conversation. Like, I find it so hard because I find it hard to have conversations sometimes with people because of that exact thing. Like, somebody will say something at the beginning of them talking, and then by the end of it, it's something completely different, and I've completely forgotten what we're talking, like what I had a thought about. So I oftentimes will just jot things down.
Nice, man. That's good. Good stuff. Dude. Yeah, man. How about you shout out some plugs for what you got going on there on your end?
Sure. Yeah. What have I got going on? Oh, yeah. I'm going to shout out my other podcast. I think if you guys enjoyed this one, you'll enjoy my other podcast. It's called What I Learned From. And yeah, I think it's linked. Yeah, you can search it on any podcast platform. It's on my YouTube channel, Forrest Stevens. Last week's episode was about Feldenkrais, which is therapy, movement therapy, and next week's pod will be, I think, about this guy. I'll have him on as a guest. His name is Cameron, and he's an army veteran who has PTSD and who has worked through that and written a book called Caveman to Philosopher, and he's gone through his own spiritual journey and emotional journey and mental journey to become a better person than I guess he was. You know, it's his transformation in that book. So it'll be interesting to talk to him, and that's happening tomorrow. And so who knows what that podcast will be like, but I think you guys will enjoy it. So go check that out.
That's awesome, man. Damn, that sounds cool.
Yeah. Should be fun. Should be interesting. I'm stoked to talk to him.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. The What I Learned From Forrest does are pretty interesting. They're cool. I always find myself, kind of like wrapped up in the story, like I'm in it, I'm paying it, they're really interesting.
Cool.
So it's like, it's fun because I'm there with you on the journey that you were in the past, like when you're talking about it, it's like I'm going through it with you. So that's always fun. Always
cool. It's like a story.
You need
to go through the story of it.
It's cool.
Nice. So, All right. Well, thanks for talking with me, Johnny. This was fun. This was a
Yeah,
good
man.
episode.
Good seeing you. All right, everybody. Take care.
Bye for now.